إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue with the discussion or explanation of the brief essay of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, entitled Nawaqid al-Islam. The Nawaqid of Islam, as we have mentioned in the previous lectures in this series, are those things which, whether actions or speech or belief, they are those things which nullify or negate the person's Islam. Yani if a person commits one of these acts or makes such a statement, then it is of those things that nullify their Islam and takes them out of Islam, of course with the conditions that we have mentioned previously. In the previous lectures, we have discussed the first two nawaqid of Islam, and this evening, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we would like to take the third of them, keeping in mind that this particular naqid, the third of the nawaqid of Islam, adam takfir al-mushrikeen, is indeed a sensitive topic, and at the same time, it is an important topic that needs to be understood by the Muslims. Adam takfir al-mushrikeen. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah mentioned the third of the nawaqid of Islam. As-salat, he said, من لم يكفر المشركين أو شك في كفرهم أو صحح مذهبهم كفرا. يعني that whoever does not declare or acknowledge or admit the kufr, the disbelief of the mushrikeen, the pagan disbelievers, whoever does not declare their kufr, or acknowledge or admit that they are kafirs. أو شك في كفرهم. Or whoever has doubt, they are not sure whether or not the pagan disbelievers are in fact kafirs. And they are not sure if their deen is really kufr or not. أو صحح مذهبهم. Or whoever considers their madhab, their religion, or their philosophy, or their way of life, or their system of living, whoever considers their way of life as being sahih, as being correct, valid, and authentic, then such a one has fallen into disbelief by ijma of the Muslim scholars. Perhaps, walaikum salam, there might be some question or wonder whether or not there are amongst the Muslims those who are unsure about the kufr of the disbelievers, or those who consider the religion of the disbelieving nations, whether from the Ahl Kitab, Christians and Jews or others. Are there from amongst the Muslims those who doubt or wonder about the kufr of these nations and their religion or their philosophy or their way of life? Indeed, we have found amongst the Muslims those who, directly or indirectly, fail to acknowledge the kufr of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated that they are disbelievers in the Qur'an, or that which has come in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, we have found in America one of the popular Muslim leaders espousing the idea that the people of the book, the Christians and Jews, that they are mu'minun, that they are believers just as the Muslims, and that they would enter paradise just as the Muslims, justifying this position with one argument or another. Some of them even supplicate that these disbelievers, people who are not Muslims, whether they are from the Ahl Kitab, the people of the book, or from the other pagan disbelievers, some of them claim and supplicate for these people to be admitted into paradise. As one of the Muslim leaders said, mentioning the famous civil rights leader in America, Dr. Martin Luther King, he said, "May Allah forgive him his sins and admit him into paradise." And a man who died on kufr, believing in Trinity, in the sonship and the divinity of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and a Muslim leader, says, "May Allah forgive him his sins and admit him into paradise." Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab here, in this particular naqid or nullifier, he says that whoever does not declare the kufr, the disbelief of the pagan disbelievers, the mushrikeen, or is in doubt about their kufr, who is not certain that indeed they are kafirs as Allah has made clear in His book, or who declares their religion or their way of life or philosophy to be acceptable, valid or correct, then this is kufr by consensus of the Muslim scholars. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared them to be disbelievers in so many verses of His book. For example, the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 72, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَصِيحُ إِبْنُ مَرْيَمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed, certainly, definitely, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ, indeed they have disbelieved, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا, those who said, I mean not even for an action, but for what they have said, the statement that they made, which is a reflection of the belief that is in their heart, they said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَصِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمُ, that indeed Allah, He is the Masih, the Messiah, the son of Maryam. And likewise, in the following ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدَ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. That indeed they have disbelieved those who said that verily Allah is the third of the three, that Allah is one in the Trinity, Allah is one of the members of the Trinity. And there is no God except one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who deserves to be worshipped. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 70, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَا تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ. All people of the book, specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here refers to the people of the book, those who might be considered as closer to the Muslims than the other disbelievers, because they are people to whom revelation came. Yani people who were basing their way of life on revelation, yani whom prophets had come to, who guided them, but they deviated and separated from that which was brought to them. يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَا تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ. O people of the book, why do you disbelieve in the ayat of Allah, the verses of what Allah has revealed in the Qur'an, while you yourselves bear witness and know indeed certainly that it is the truth? لِمَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that these people are disbelievers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 89, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. That when that came to them, which they knew, yani that which they knew and recognized to be the truth, the message that came through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his prophethood, and that which he brought, when it came, after they had been calling for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send to them a messenger that would lead them into victory over the pagan disbelievers of the Arabian Peninsula, then when that prophet came, they rejected him. And they knew that he was the prophet, and they knew that he was the fulfillment of the prophecies that had come through the earlier prophets who had come to them. So may the curse of Allah be upon the disbelievers. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers specifically to the Ahl Kitab And individually he refers to the Jews in one verse and to the Christians in another. And these are those who might be considered closest to the Muslims, because as we said, they are people who originally were following that which was truth, that which was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the earlier prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered that we have enmity for the disbelievers due to their inventing lies against Allah, claiming that Allah is a son, or that Allah is one in three in the Trinity, or denying the resurrection and the life after and the punishment and reward, or the rejection of whatever Allah has revealed to His prophets and messengers, alayhi wasalam. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called on the believers to express their iman by rejecting those who reject belief in Him and who refuse to worship Him alone. Likewise, we should know that one's tawheed is not complete or correct until two conditions are fulfilled. The first of them, negation of falsehood and every false God that is worshipped besides Allah. And the second of them is affirmation of the truth and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And this is what is understood in the kalimat al-tawheed, la ilaha illallah. It is negation of everything and anything that is worshipped besides Allah. La ilaha, that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped, illallah, except Allah, and that is the affirmation that worship belongs to Allah alone. These two, negation of worship for everything other than Allah and affirmation of the worship for Allah alone, are necessary together in order for one's iman or one's tawheed or one's Islam to be correct and acceptable. Similar to this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 256, لا إكراه في الدين. That there is no compulsion in deen. No one is forced to believe in Allah. No one is compelled to believe in Allah. But everyone is given the invitation to accept the truth and to live according to it in order to be successful, or to reject it and to suffer the consequences. لا إكراه في الدين. قد تبين الرشد من الغي. That indeed the rush, proper guidance, right guidance, it is clearly distinct from error. Yani the intellect is sufficient. If a person's intellect is whole and sound and not corrupted, it is sufficient that a person reflects upon the truth and that which and right guidance, and the right guidance, it is clearly distinct from error. Therefore there is no need for compulsion, but everyone is invited to use the gift that Allah has given him to reflect and to consider and to examine, to see and to distinguish the truth from falsehood. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, here is an indication that whoever disbelieves in the tagut, whoever rejects and denies the false gods and falsehood, whoever negates that and then believes in Allah, وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, and believes in Allah, then this person has taken hold of the most trustworthy handhold that will never break, and Allah is hearing, knowing. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also makes it clear that it is required of the believers to first negate the belief or the right of worship for anything other than Allah, to reject the worship of other than Allah, and then to affirm it for Allah alone. So this is required of the believers, to reject and to detest the worship of other than Allah and to affirm worship for Allah alone. Not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory on the Muslims to take a position of enmity and hatred for those who reject Allah and who refuse to worship Him alone, to take them as enemies and to consider them as enemies. And no one can be judged to be a Muslim until he acknowledges the kufr of the pagans. Indeed, if he hesitates in declaring their kufr while the matter is apparent and clear in them, or he doubts their kufr while it is clear that they are kafirs, then such a person is just like them. As for the one who considers their madhab, their way of life, or their religion or philosophy to be correct and valid, or he considers the disbelief and transgression which they engage in to be something good, to be something acceptable, such a one is a disbeliever, likewise by consensus of the Muslim scholars. The reason for this is that such a person has not known the reality of Islam. The reality of Islam is that al-Islam, it is al-istislam lillahi bit-tawheed. It means that one surrenders or submits themselves to Allah with tawheed, yani to worship Him alone. وَالْإِنْقِيَادْ لَهُ بِطَاعَةٍ, and to willfully surrender theirself through obedience to Allah, obeying His commands and refraining from His prohibitions. وَالْبَرَاءَ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ, and then declaring theirself to be of those who avoid الشِّرْكِ, worshipping other than Allah, and avoiding the people of shirk, the pagans. Yani Islam requires that a Muslim must submit themselves to Allah alone, and surrender themselves to Allah by obeying Him, and as well they must reject and avoid shirk and the people of shirk. But we find today that many of the Muslims not only refuse to acknowledge the kufr of the pagan disbelievers, but they go further and take the disbelievers as awliya, as friends and supporters or helpers, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory on the Muslim to separate from shirk and the mushrikeen, the people of shirk. It is obligatory on us to declare ourselves free of them, as was openly declared by the Prophet Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salam in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمٍ, that indeed there was for you an excellent example in Ibrahim. The example for the true believers, it is found in Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was recognized not only by the Muslims, but also by the Christians and Jews. Not only as the prophet, but as the father of a tawheed. However, they don't follow his example. Only the true believers follow the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. قَدَ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمٍ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعْهُ, and also those who believed with him, yani who followed his way, who believed in him, and who took him as a model. إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرْعَاءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِنَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, that they said, when they said to their people that we are free, we are separate from you, we are free of being a part of you or having any relationship to you, and as well from that which you worship instead of Allah. Yani they declared themselves to be innocent and to be free of the mushrikeen and the shirk that they were engaging in. They said, كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ أَبَدًا حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ, that indeed we have rejected you, كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ, we reject you, and there has appeared between us and you الْعَدَاوَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ, hostility, enmity and hatred, forever, أَبَدًا حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ, until you believe in Allah alone. And it is based on a tawheed, the relation of the true believer with others, it is based on tawheed, that there is enmity, adawa, and hatred, baghda, between the true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who reject Allah and disbelieve in Him and worship others besides Him. And that relationship of adawa and baghda, it will remain forever, abadan, حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, until they believe, until you believe in Allah. That is the position of Ibrahim, Khalilullah alayhi salam, and those who believed in him and who believed along with him, the true believers, that their stand with their people, it was the stand of Tawheed, based on Tawheed. That their relationship to them, it is based on the relationship of the people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever worships him, then the relationship with them is the relationship of friendship and support. And whoever rejects the worship of Allah alone, then there's hatred and enmity. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says in his tafsir concerning this ayah, enmity and hatred has been legislated between us and them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it part of his sharia, that there be enmity and hatred between the mu'min and the kafir. It is not a matter of personality, whether that person is nice, or friendly, or kind, or truthful, or honest. It is a matter of Allah's law, that He has legislated the relationship between the people of Iman and the people of Kufr and Shirk. It is like this. Allah has legislated between us and them, enmity and hatred. So just as long as they remain in disbelief, we will forever declare our innocence from them and hate them until you believe in Allah alone. Yani until they accept the Tawheed and believe in Allah alone. Meaning, until you single out Allah alone and worship Him exclusively without associating anything with Him as a partner. And abandon whatever awthan, graven images, and andad, rivals, you have been worshipping along with Him. Al-Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of the very same ayat, he said the meaning of this ayat is that this will be our way with you, the pagans. This will be our relationship with you, just as long as you continue to disbelieve. And it's not a matter of personality, it is a matter of Iman and Kufr. And it's not for the true believer to question Allah's legislation and Allah's rule and law, but it is for us to accept it. Because to reject what Allah has legislated is to reject the wisdom and perfect knowledge of Allah, who knows best what He has legislated and why He has legislated. This is our way with you, just as long as you continue to disbelieve. Unless and until you believe in Allah alone and leave the practices of shirk, which you are presently practicing. However, if and when you do that is, if and when you leave the shirk and believe in Allah alone, that enmity will become friendship and allegiance, and that hatred will become love. It is not our right to love or to hate, except by what Allah has legislated. And love and hate, it is for the sake of Allah. The true believer loves for the sake of Allah and hates for the sake of Allah. And this is Islam. It is of the usul of Islam. The love and hate for the sake of Allah. Al-wala wal-bara. Yani allegiance to the believers and disassociation from the disbelievers. It is the fundamental of the deen of Allah. In these verses are found the clarification that the truth and falsehood are still at odds and will continue to be so until the hour of resurrection. Therefore, based on the above, the people of truth must hold tight to whatever they possess and defend it so that it will remain unblemished, unpolluted, and that no distortion will touch its noble and clearly defined characteristics and features. As we see in the Muslim world today, the purity of Islam is being polluted and corrupted by the friendship and relations of the mu'min with the kafir, accepting them as one friend or one supporter or helper. In this way, the kafirs have polluted the Islamic way of life, have corrupted the society and corrupted the beliefs of many of the Muslims to the extent that some brothers told me just the other day that one brother who was a Muslim, who was raised as a Muslim, married a kafir and went to a kafir country, and that kafir woman has polluted his mind and corrupted his mind to the extent, as they told me, I didn't meet the man, but as they told me, to the extent that he is in doubt about whether or not Allah exists. Yani a Muslim who was raised as a Muslim, as a normal Muslim praying and worshipping as a Muslim, has become corrupted to the extent that he is in doubt. Not only doubt about whether or not polygamy is justified, or whether or not slavery in Islam is something that should be accepted or not, but whether or not Allah exists. That's how they have told me. Subhanallah. Likewise, the people of falsehood remain upon their falsehood, holding tightly to it and defending it until they overcome or stand on equal grounds with the truth. All of them will continue in this struggle until Allah inherits the earth and whoever is upon it. And it's an ongoing struggle. It will not end at any point. But the relationship between Iman and Kufr, between Tawheed and Shirk, is an ongoing relationship. It will not end until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits the earth, yani until Allah takes everyone from the earth and calls the people for resurrection. This is the millah, the creed of Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Whoever deviates from it has definitely shown his own stupidity and ignorance. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, in another essay, mentioned the ayat which we have previously mentioned, فَمَنْ يَقْفُرُ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى. But whoever rejects the taghut, disbelieves in the taghut, and who believes in Allah, then he has taken hold of the handle that will never break. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah said, the manner in which one disbelieves in the taghut, yani al-kufr bil-taghut, it is by believing that it is falsehood to worship anything other than Allah. Al-kufr bil-taghut, it means that one must believe that the worship of other than Allah is false. It is falsehood, the worship of anything other than Allah. Leaving it, hating it, declaring the kufr of its people and being an enemy to them. This is al-kufr bil-taghut. It is not only to deny the worship of other than Allah, but also to leave it and to hate it and to declare the kufr of those who engage in it and to declare our relationship of enmity and hatred between us and them. From this explanation, the condition of many of the Muslims in the lands which are considered to be Islamic becomes clear. They take the pagans as friends and supporters, try to be close to them, exalt and glorify them, and establish between them such relations that indicate these people as being their brothers. It's not uncommon today to find Muslims having relationships with kafirs, just as a Muslim has a relationship with another Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْمُسْلِمُ أَخُ الْمُسْلِمُ. The believers are brothers to one another. And the Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. The brotherhood in Islam, it is based on iman. Al-mu'min, it is based on iman. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The ukhuwa, or the brotherhood, it is based on iman. And it is based on Islam is not based on common interests or friendliness or anything else. The believers must seek their help and protection only from the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 51, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ. O you who believe, the people of Iman, who have true Iman, who believe in Allah alone, and who abide by what Allah has legislated, and accept the wisdom of Allah, and what He has legislated, and what He has commanded, and what He has prohibited. O you who believe, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. Don't take the Jews and the Christians as أولياء. As those who you rely upon, or you put your trust in, for help and support, or even friendship. Don't rely upon them. بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدٍ. That they are helpers, they are supporters of one another. The Christians and Jews and the pagan disbelievers are supporters of one another. And we see that in the world today, that they support one another. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ لَا يَحْدِ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And whoever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever takes them as awliya, as supporters and protectors and helpers, whoever from amongst you, from amongst the Muslims, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ, from amongst the believers, whoever takes them as the awliya, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, then he becomes one of them. Then he becomes one of them. And indeed, Allah doesn't guide the ظالمين, the unjust wrongdoers. يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 28, لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء. يعني لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين. That the believers do not take the disbelievers as their أولياء, as their supporters or helpers, instead of believers. How can the mu'min take a kafir as his helper and supporter in place of, or instead of, or in preference to taking the believer as his helper and supporter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the believers, they don't do so. And then he said, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ, and whoever does that, فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِيهِ شَيْءٍ, then he will not have from Allah anything, yani any help in any way whatsoever. He will be on his own. And whoever takes the kafirs as his helpers and supporters, then he will not find any help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore it is necessary for every Muslim who takes Islam as his way of life to declare the kufr of the pagan disbelievers and realize that they are his enemies. A Muslim detests the disbelievers, as well as those who love them and argue in their behalf. It is also necessary for all Muslims to return to the deen of Islam, and to practice the deen of Islam, not just to espouse it from our mouths, but to act in accordance with it. It is through this deen, al-Islam, that respect and glory will be achieved and success will be gained by practicing Islam and implementing the laws of Allah. By means of Islam, the lands will be set aright, and the distinction is made between the awliya of ar-Rahman, the supporters of Allah, who help and support the religion of Allah, and the awliya of ash-shaytan, the supporters of the devil, those who help and support the devil. It is through Islam, the Qur'an and the Sunnah, that the distinction is made between the supporters of Allah and the supporters of shaitan, who have no concern about what happens to this deen, just as long as they are given the things of the world, their food and drink and a place to sleep. There should be for us an example to be followed in Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salam, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he mentions the saying of Ibrahim, إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَحْدِينَ. That Ibrahim, he said to his father and to his people, that indeed, I am free of you, I am innocent of that which you are worshipping. Any negation of the worship of other than Allah, that I am free of that which you worship other than Allah, I reject it. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي, except the one who has created me, and he is the one verily that will guide me. And it is negation of the worship of other than Allah, and the affirmation of Allah alone. Why is it that the Muslims will not return to the deen of Allah and to the beliefs of Islam and obey the commands of Allah concerning his rulings about the mushrikeen, the pagan disbelievers? Indeed, the rule of Allah, it has more right to be implemented. It is more right that the rule of Allah be implemented in the earth, even if by force, because it is Allah's rule that will grant peace and happiness for humanity in the world. And it is not the rule of any group of people or any nation or any other system. It is only by the implementation of the law of Allah that humanity can enjoy peace in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the believers in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 123, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ يَلُونَكُمْ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ وَلْيَجِدُوا فِيكُمْ غِلْظَةً وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. O you who believe, fight those of the disbelievers who are near to you, those who are close to you, from amongst the kuffar, fight them. وَلْيَجِدُوا فِيكُمْ غِلْظَةً, and they should find in you harshness. Yani this is the place for harshness. It is in establishing the law of Allah and the deen of Allah in the earth. Otherwise, there is no harm in being kind, in being polite to those who have not fought against you for the sake of your deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, know that Allah is with the muttaqeen, those who have taqwa. That whoever strives to establish his deen in the earth, Allah is with them. This ayah was revealed after the Arabian Peninsula had been purified from ash-shirk. After the Arabian Peninsula was cleaned, when tawheed was established, then Allah ordered the believers to continue with the struggle and to spread the rule of Allah throughout the earth. And the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned in some of the hadith that which the scholars have said are the three ways in which the rule of Allah can be established in the earth. It is by first offering the people to enter Islam willingly, to enter into submission to Allah, the Lord of the world, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And if not, then to take from them the jizya, the tax, on those who live under the protection of the Muslim state. And of course, this is to be implemented in the time when the Muslims are worshipping Allah, when the Muslims actually have submitted themselves to Allah, then they can call others to Islam, and they can establish Islam in the earth, and they can offer protection to the kafirs, as the kafirs are taking the wealth of the Muslims in exchange for protection from them. And the third of them, it is fighting the disbelievers until they are in submission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also in the Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 5, فَقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ فَقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ يعني fight them wherever you find them. Wherever you find them, fight against them and kill them. وَخُذُوهُمْ and take them captives, يعني as prisoners of war. وَقْعُدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْسَدٍ and also seek to besiege them and prepare ambush for them from every place. فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ but if they repent, يعني if they reject the kufr and the shirk that they were upon, and they repent to Allah, and they establish the prayers, and they offer the zakat, then leave their way open, make the way open for them. Let them be free. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ that indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. This ayah was revealed after the violation of the treaty between the Muslims and the pagans in the ninth year of the Hijrah, yani after the Prophet ﷺ has migrated from Mecca to Medina, in the ninth year after the Hijrah, and the treaty was made between the Muslims and the Mushrikeen, and that treaty was violated. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Muslims, when they were in a state of power and strength and unity, under the authority of the Prophet ﷺ, he ordered them to kill the pagan disbelievers who had a treaty with them but who have violated it, to kill them wherever you find them and to capture them and take them captive or to besiege them and ambush them from each and every place unless they repent and offer the prayers and the charity, yani unless they enter into Islam in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Muslim must know that they're disbelievers. And it is a reality that is not hidden today. Perhaps a few years ago it might not have been clear, but today it is very clear. There's no doubt in the minds of those who have sense. Every Muslim must know that the disbelievers are striving their utmost and seeking every means in their power to distance the Muslims from their religion. In any way whatsoever, whether or not, whether it is through taking Islam out of the educational system or preventing the Muslims from openly practicing their deen or threatening those who display openly the signs of Islam, in every way, in every possible way, they are seeking to distance the Muslims from Islam and to cause fear in the hearts of the Muslims so that they will be afraid to worship Allah. Therefore, if those who have real concern about the deen of Allah do not wake up from this sleep and pay attention to this matter, they will soon feel extreme remorse at a time when it will not be of any benefit. And they will soon reap harvest. They will soon reap and harvest the fruits of their actions. It is obligatory on every alim, every scholar and every da'iyah who calls to Islam, and every khatib who gives the khutbah on Friday, and every imam of a masjid, to make clear to the people the danger of having relationships of friendship and support and help with the pagan disbelievers. Muwalat al-kuffar, it is establishing relations of support and help and friendship between the believers and the disbelievers. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Making clear this matter to the Muslims, the illegality of having such relationships with the pagan disbelievers who refuse to believe in Allah, and who refuse to acknowledge the message of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This should be done through every type of legal evidence, whether from the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must clarify for the people the danger even of traveling to the lands of the disbelievers or importing the disbelievers to the Muslim lands, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has severed al-muwalat, the relationships of friendship and support between the Muslim and the disbeliever, even if it was one's nearest relative. Bringing the non-Muslims to the Muslim lands, or the Muslims living in the non-Muslim lands, it is detrimental to one's Islam, except in the case those people who have knowledge and who have iman and taqwa, who are there for some benefit, for some legitimate reason that Allah has allowed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 23, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, and this is addressed to the people of iman, who believe in Allah and who acknowledge that it is Allah who has the right to legislate, to command and to prohibit. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا آبَاءَكُمْ وَإِخْوَانَكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ إِنِ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْكُفْرَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. And don't take even your fathers or your brothers as awliya, as supporters and helpers and protectors. إِنِ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْكُفْرَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. And whoever loves kufr and prefers it over iman, then don't take them as your awliya. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whoever does so, whoever takes them as awliya from amongst the Muslims, who takes the kuffar, disbelievers, pagan disbelievers as the awliya, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are the zalimun, the wrongdoers, who have done wrong to their own selves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mujadila, chapter 58, verse 22, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That you will not find the people who truly believe in Allah in the last day, who really have iman, believing in Allah as it should be, and who believe in the last day, that they will be accountable, that there is a time when we will be accountable for what we do in this world, that whatever we do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having it recorded, and that we will be called to it, and we will answer for it. لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُونَ مَنْ حَادَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. That you will not find them taking the people who oppose Allah and who oppose the Messenger of Allah, وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانُهُمْ أَوْ أَشِيرَتُهُمْ. You will not find them having love for them or relationship of friendship and love and affection for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if it is their fathers, even if it is their children, even if it is their brothers or their relatives. أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبُهُمْ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ. And these it is that Allah, He has written in their hearts iman, He has established in their hearts true iman, and He has strengthened them with a spirit from Himself, a ruh from Himself. It is those who establish their relationship with the disbelievers based on iman and kufr, based on tawheed and shirk. Even if it is their parents or their children or their brothers or their relatives, they will not find the one who really has iman in Allah in the last day having the relationship of love and affection and friendship for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 149 and 150, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And these verses that begin with the word يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, it is an indicator, Allah says, إِن كُنْتُمْ خَرَجْتُمْ جِهَادًا فِي سَبِيلِي وَبَتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِي. Then if it is that you have gone out for jihad in my way and seeking my pleasure, then don't take them as friends and supporters, and don't show towards them love and affection. تُسِرُّونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, secretly showing them affection and love. وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِمَا أَخْفَيْتُمْ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows that which you hide and that which you show. وَمَنْ يَفَعَلْهُ مِنْكُمْ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. And whoever does so from amongst the believers, then indeed that person has gone far away. The matters or the laws and the rules concerning relations between the believers and disbelievers, there are many. However, a few of them shows the seriousness of the matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated that the believers, based on their iman in Islam, take a position towards the disbelievers who reject Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what has been reported in al-Sahihain, al-Bukhari and Muslim, in the hadith of Usama radiallahu anhu, he said, لا يرث المسلم الكافرة لا يرث المسلم الكافرة ولا الكافر المسلم, that the Muslim does not inherit from the disbeliever, nor does the disbeliever inherit from the Muslim. Yani it is, this is to assure that there be no relationships between the Muslims and the disbelievers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam terminated all these relations and settled the matter once and for all, and severed even the relations of inheritance, yani the relations after death are even cut. The Muslim is not to inherit from a kafir, nor a kafir from a Muslim. As for the kafir inheriting from the Muslim, it is by agreement of the scholars that it is not allowed. And as for the Muslim inheriting from the kafirs, by the minority of some of the Muslim scholars have claimed that it is allowed for the Muslim to inherit from the kafir because the Muslim is preferable and better and above the kafir, therefore he should be allowed to take from them. However, the hadith is clear that a Muslim does not inherit from a kafir, nor a kafir from a Muslim. The inequality between the kafir and the mu'min is clear, even to the extent that it has been reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sahih of al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يقتل مسلم بكافر. لا يقتل مسلم بكافر. That a Muslim cannot be killed in exchange for the killing of a disbeliever. And that doesn't mean that it's allowed for a Muslim to kill a non-Muslim outside of the law of the Sharia. However, if a Muslim unjustly killed a non-Muslim, then the disbeliever is not equal to the believer, and a Muslim's life cannot be taken in exchange for a kafir. And there's no reason for this except that the disbeliever in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, yani the disbeliever who has rejected their Creator and who has rejected the worship of Allah, the Lord of the world, is despicable and degraded and lowly in front of Allah and worthless in front of Allah. Therefore, it is not permissible that the life of a Muslim be equated with the life of a kafir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِقُونَ نَجَسْ نَجَسْ, that indeed the pagan disbelievers, yani those who reject Tawheed and who worship other than Allah, that they are najis, they are impure. And this word, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited being used for a mu'min. He said that the mu'min is never najis. The mu'min is not najis, impure, even if there are impurities on their body. And this najasa of the mushrik, it is of two types. It is spiritual and physical. As for the spiritual, it is clear that it is shirk, because they don't believe in Allah's oneness, and they don't believe in the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as for the physical najis, it is due to the absence of a tahara, because they don't give attention to the matters of tahara, personal hygiene, as the Muslims have been legislated to do in the Sharia and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this word najis, it is only used for the people. Is only used for the people of spiritual impurity, yani the mushrikeen, and it is not used for the believer. And finally, every Muslim must know that the disbelievers from amongst the Jews and the Christians, as well as the other disbelievers, will never make any sincere peace between the Muslims, between them and the Muslims. Nor will they leave the Muslims alone to be free from their harm. Nor will they be pleased with them until the Muslims follow their religion and imitate their way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 120, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى, that the Jews and the Christians will never be pleased with you, حَتَّى تَتَّبِيَ مِلَّتَهُمْ, they will never be pleased with you until you follow their millah, until you follow their creed, their way, their religion, their kufr. قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى, And then Allah ordered the Prophet ﷺ to say that indeed the guidance of Allah, it is the true guidance, is Islam, is Tawheed. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. That if you were to follow their desires, that which they come with, after what has come to you of knowledge, the knowledge of Islam and Tawheed, then you will never have a protector, a wali, nor a nafir, a helper. This is a challenge and a warning from Allah, and it is a serious threat to whoever will follow the religion of the disbelievers, whether by saying it with words or by acting in accord with what they believe. And it is a confirmation that such a one will not have any protector or any helper other than Allah. The Prophet ﷺ ordered separation from the pagan disbelievers in order that the Muslims will not become one with them. In fact, he attached such great importance to the matter that it is reported in the authentic hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, and that is recorded by Abu Dawud and the Tirmidhi, and the hadith is sahih. He said, أَنَا بَرِيءٌ مِّن كُلِّ مُسْلِمْ يُقِيمُ بَيْنَ أَظْهَرِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He said, I am innocent of every Muslim who resides permanently amongst the mushrikeen. Whoever intends and is pleased to live permanently amongst the mushrikeen, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَنَا بَرِيٌ مِّن. I have nothing to do with him. I am innocent of him and I have no responsibility for him. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لِمَا. They said, O Messenger of Allah, why is it? Yani, what is the reason for such? And why has he taken such a stern position? He said, لَا تَرَاءَ نَارَهُمَا. That their fires should not see one another. That the fires of the Muslims should not be close enough to the fires of the Kafirs, that they could be seen by one another. Yani the separation of the Muslims. Of course, the example that he has given, it is in the desert in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that a Kafir, if he camps somewhere in the desert, the Muslims shouldn't camp close enough that in the darkness of the night he could see his fire. That's how far he should be separated from him. But today the Muslims live with the Kafirs. They are their neighbors, and they live in the same apartments with them, or in the same houses with them. And they share with them, yani, as though they are brothers to one another. The Prophet ﷺ also said in the hadith that is reported in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i and others, and the isnad of this hadith is jayyid, it is a good hadith, and many of the scholars, including Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, has declared this hadith to be hasan. And it is a very important hadith. And some people will not believe it if they don't believe in Allah and His Messenger. But the Prophet ﷺ, he has said it. And it shows the need for the believers to be separated from the disbelievers. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ مِن مُشْرِكٍ بَعْدَ مَا أَسْلَمَ عَمَلًا أَوْ يُفَارِقَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ إِلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ. لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ مِن مُشْرِكٍ. That Allah doesn't accept from a mushrik. بَعْدَمَا أَسْلَمَ. After he has entered Islam, the mushrik who is amongst the mushrikeen, and he has entered into Islam, Allah doesn't accept from him عَمَلًا, any deed that he does. أَوْ يُفَارِكَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Until, يعني أَوْ هِيَ means حَتَّى يُفَارِكَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Until he separates from the pagan disbelievers إِلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and goes to the Muslims. We complain only to Allah about the strangeness of the deen of Islam and the change in the condition of the Muslim today. Indeed, the Muslims have become far removed from Islam, and it is only because of that these hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and these ayats of the Quran are strange to us. But the Prophet ﷺ have emphasized the matter in so many ways, and these are only a few examples of that which makes it clear the need for separation between al-Iman and Kufr, and the people of Iman and the people of Kufr and Shirk. What about those who hear these verses of Quran and these hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and they sit amongst the disbelievers, eating with them and laughing with them, and considering them to be a part of them? It has been reported from Samra ibn Jundub, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the hadith is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and that hadith is hasan or sahih li ghayrihi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man jama'a al-mushrika wa sakana ma'ahu fa innahu mithluh. Man jama'a al-mushrik, yani whoever goes, whoever is with the mushrik, who sits with the mushrik and bees with him and joins with him, وَسَكَنَ مَعْهُ and resides with him, فَأَنَّهُ مِثْلُهُ, then he is like him, and he is like the mushrik. Where is the millah of Ibrahim? Where is the millah of Ibrahim today? Where is love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah? Where is al-wala wal-bara? يعني affiliation with the believers and disassociation from the disbelievers. In closing, the saying of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, أو صحح مذهبهم, يعني those who do not declare the kufr of the pagan disbelievers, or who have doubt in their kufr, whether or not it is kufr, or those who consider as correct and valid their way of life, يعني that Islam is good and their way of life is good and all of it is the same. Everybody should do whatever they want to do. Whoever considers that what they are doing is correct, it is valid, it is acceptable. It includes those things which many of the people of this time are calling to today, such as those who call to communism, ishtiraqiyya, and those who call to ba'athiyya, socialism, and those who call to ilmaniyya, secularism. All of this is kufr. All of this is kufr, and whoever considers these things to be acceptable, then it is kufr. All of these are disbelieving sects that have gone astray, even if its followers call themselves by Muslim names. Since the names, as it has been said by some of the scholars, since the names by which things are called do not change the reality of those things, call it what you want to. You can call riba by another name. I don't know what they call it, fa'ida. They call riba fa'ida. They call khamr, I don't know, spirits. They call something else, whatever. But whatever name it's called, it doesn't change the reality. It remains what it is. Kufr is kufr. And the people of kufr, they are to be rejected. The Muslims have to stand on Islam and worship Allah and turn to Him and put their trust in Him and rely upon Him alone. Wallahu musta'an. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Perhaps there's a few moments remaining, since we don't have any questions today, and maybe you have some questions, or if the sisters have any questions, I don't know how they would do it. Maybe Ismail, if your wife is there, if the sisters have any questions, she can call and speak to you. You can help us, inshallah. Now. Now, the declaration of the kufr of the disbelievers, how is it? How is it implemented? It is implemented, as Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab said, about the kufr in taghut. The kufr in taghut, it means to reject the worship of other than Allah, to reject falsehood, and to reject the people of falsehood, and to have hatred in one's heart for that falsehood, whether it is kufr or shirk or whatever that is based on falsehood, to reject it, and to hate it, and to separate from it, and to avoid it, and to not engage in it. This is the declaration of kufr. Of the kuffar, it means that we acknowledge and we admit and we confess that they are kafirs and we deal with them accordingly. Doesn't mean that we have to have a mean face when we talk to them or we have to say harsh words to them. It doesn't mean that. But it means that we take a clear stand that we are the mu'mineen and they are the kafirin. We have to take a stand on this and we don't take them for supporters or helpers. We don't rely upon them. We don't seek their advice or turn to them when we are in need. But we should rely upon the believers. Rely upon Allah. Allah is sufficient. No, it is not a declaration on the tongue that one has to say in front of witnesses or to go in the broadcasting station on television or radio and say it. But it means that we should act on it. And also, it may be said if the occasion arrives. If someone is asked, is this kufr? We should say it is kufr and don't be afraid. You know, if someone asks, is this acceptable? We should say this is rejected, this is against Islam. Rejecting it and hating it and acknowledging that it is false. Allah knows best. No. No. What if somebody, a Muslim, has a teacher who is a kafir? First, the Muslim should avoid such, if possible. And this is one of the reasons why it is not good to go to the land of the disbelievers to learn, except for necessity. Otherwise, Muslims should learn from the Muslims. Today, Muslims have knowledge, even technology we have in the Muslim land. But everybody thinks that it is better in the land of the kuffar. However, if someone is forced to go there or to study with a teacher who is a kafir, even in the land of the Muslim, if one is forced to do so without any choice, then at least that person should keep their distance from them and not have the relationship with that teacher that is natural that a student would have with a teacher. But your relationship should be unnatural with them because they are kafir. In addition to what has been said in reference to the brother's question, we should know that it is natural that a student, the relationship between a student and teacher is one of dependence, and often it breeds friendship and perhaps even love for that person who may be benefiting you. However, Muslims should know that the Sharia of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet and it does not allow that such a relationship should exist between the believer and the disbeliever. Therefore, one should restrain oneself and try to be conscious of avoiding any close relations with that person and only take the assistance that is necessary from them, as long as it is necessary, and try to avoid that kind of situation if possible. Now, Fadl. Don't call a Hindu a kafir? No. In any case, it's true that anybody who is not a Muslim might become a Muslim before they die. However, while they are not believing in Allah, they are kafir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the one who has named them kafirs. And the Prophet ﷺ have declared them to be kafirs. Therefore, it's not something that we have to go and say to that person, you are a kafir, ya yuhal kafir. We don't have to say to them that. However, they are kafirs for sure, and there is no harm in calling them kafirs. However, some of the Muslim scholars said concerning cursing, yani declaring the la'an of Allah on the disbelievers, that it is permissible to say la'anatullah ala al-kafirin, that the curse of Allah be upon the disbelievers, or la'anatullah ala al-mushrikeen, or fasiqeen, or whatever. But that we shouldn't say the la'ana of Allah, because the la'ana of Allah, it means that that person be far removed from the rahmah of Allah. We shouldn't say it about a particular person, because it's possible that that person might become a Muslim. So we don't say la'anatullah on that person particularly. However, the la'an of Allah, it will be upon those who die on kufr and shirk. So for that reason, some of the scholars made a distinction in terms of this issue, not in terms of calling them kafirs. They are indeed kafirs. Naam. Oh, sisters, naam. Before he forgets. This is a somewhat complex question. However, in summary, we can say that the Muslim, as the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا يَرِثُ الْمُسْلِمُ الْكَافِرَ. It is mutlaq. The Muslim does not inherit from a kafir. It doesn't make a difference. It is their mother or their father or their sister or their brother or their children. Not allowed. However, as I said, there is difference of opinion. There is a minority opinion of some of the scholars who attempted to interpret this hadith through another hadith, that Islam is superior and nothing is above Islam and nothing can be above Islam, and they said based on that the kafir cannot inherit from the Muslim, however the Muslim can inherit from the kafir. But what we say to that is that the hadith that they are referring to is general, and the hadith that we are talking about is specific in reference to inheritance, and that hadith doesn't talk about inheritance, therefore the hadith is clear and the Muslim cannot inherit from the non-Muslim. However, as far as them writing a will, well, it is the way of the kafirs to write a will. And their inheritance is based on what they write in their will. They don't have a documented system of who should inherit what, and then outside of that they offer something. Therefore, the will of the kafir, it is not acceptable that the Muslims should take from it, even if they have written something for them, and Allah knows best. Qasim. Naam. The Bible is saying that the Prophet ﷺ, after the Battle of Badr, he has allowed some of the Muslims to learn reading and writing from some mushriks. In any case, as we said earlier, this is something that if a person is in that situation out of necessity, then they can do what this necessity requires. However, we should not prefer to learn from the kafir when we can learn from the Muslim. In that situation, it was because the Muslims didn't know how to read and write. And the Prophet ﷺ took advantage of that situation and he freed those pagans in exchange for them teaching the Muslims who were in need of that, and there was nobody to teach them. So he took advantage of that situation. However, that is not the normal situation. After Muslims have learned how to read and write, then they didn't learn from the kafirs. In fact, it is authentically reported that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when one of the famous companions of the Prophet ﷺ came to him when he was the Khalifa, and that man had a katib, a writer who used to write for him, who was a pagan disbeliever, and Umar came to know that he was a kafir, and he rejected it, and he told him, how can you take a kafir as your katib? There is no Muslim who can write. And he said, this is unacceptable. Don't take them, don't trust them, and don't rely upon them, and especially don't give yourself over to them so that they can know about you what they shouldn't know. But it is not acceptable, except in emergency situation, necessity allows that which is prohibited. That is the rule. Necessity allows that which is prohibited. So even if something is prohibited out of necessity, then we should not go beyond the limits or beyond the bounds of what is required, and we can do it, and Allah is forgiving, merciful. PhD courses in England are run by Jews, and also in America. Most of the big universities in America and Europe, especially certain departments or divisions of those universities, in particular Middle Eastern studies, and there are Muslims studying in New York University and Princeton and Yale, big universities in America, studying Islam, taking Islamic studies and Middle Eastern studies, and their teachers are Yahud. And that is very common. And of course, how can the Muslim learn from those people when there are Muslim scholars who we can learn from? It is not acceptable, for sure. If they are forced to do it, that is different, but they are not forced to do so. In that case, it's unacceptable. Well, anyway, the rules concerning takfir, we have discussed in the introductory lecture of this course, and we said that no Muslim should declare another Muslim to be a kafir, even if he is engaging in something that is an act of kufr, supporting the kafirs, ruling by other than the law of Allah, whatever it may be, taking them for friends. We shouldn't declare them to be a kafir simply because of that act. The speech or the action of kufr doesn't necessitate the kufr of the individual. We can rule that that act is an act of kufr, or that statement is a statement of kufr, but we cannot rule on the individual that he is a kafir simply because of his action or his speech. But all of the conditions, the shurut of takfir, should be fulfilled. And the mawaniya, the prohibitive factors, should be absent. And that is something that it is the responsibility of the scholars and not the common people. So Muslims shouldn't engage in such, especially when we know the Prophet ﷺ has warned that whoever declares his brother Muslim to be a kafir, that one of them for sure will be a kafir, it will come back. If that person is not a kafir, then it is kufr for him to have done so. He will fall into kufr by doing so. Therefore, Muslims should avoid such a thing. It is a dangerous matter.